Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on X, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available on iTunes and, like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, it's just you and me this week, but there's a little bit of territory that needs to be covered. First off, big shout out to Robert Muggy for being on the show. His documentary, Cool Runnings, the reggae movie, not the bobsled movie, is going to be shown at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin on Wednesday, September 27th at 7:30 p.m. So make a note of that. And Tuesday at the Art Craft Theater, Claudio Simonetti's Goblin, doing a live scoring of the Dario Argento's film Demons. That is Tuesday, September 26th at 8 p.m. So two really cool things happening down in Franklin. I guess I'm starting with Around the Horn, to a certain version of Around the Horn first. Of course, the Heartland Film International Film Festival announced their lineup, and so that is running October 5th through the 15th, and hopefully we will have a preview of that on next week's show, but you can go to heartlandfilm.org for all that information. And man, we are a hustling, bustling big city, because Oslo, starting on October 6th, is Indie Bard Fest. You can go to indiebardfest.com for the shows and locations, such as opening October 6th at the Cat in Carmel is Troilus and Cressida. At Mud Creek Playhouse on October 6th is As You Like It. Full disclosure, I'm playing Corin in that production. At the Shelton Auditorium on October 20th is A Bold Stroke for a Husband. Medea is happening at the Indie Fringe Basile Theater on October 20th. Titus Andronicus at the Indie 11 Theater on October 20th. And then at Arts for Lawrence on November 3rd is Hedda Gabler. So that is all happening from as a part of Indie Bard Fest. You can go to IndieBardFest.com for more information there. And we should have some folks from each production, I hope, on next week's program. We'll have to see how that goes. And my guys over at Golden Globus Theater, they this week doing straight-to-DVD Steven Seagal before he got the chocolate donut goatee, a film called A Dangerous Man. That is happening, as they listed, a Russian stripper wife half his age, slap fights, black scent, several characters telling each other how amazing Seagal is. You know, a Steven Seagal film. Anyway, that is happening over at the Golden Globus Theater. Schlocktober is coming up for Golden Globus Theater, and yours truly might be one of the guests on Schlocktober, a portion of Golden Globus Theater. So, anyway, make a note of all of that. So, I got nothing new this week because I've been involved with As You Like It, and less of a funk this week than I was last week, I guess. Maybe I'm not watching films about that not about siblings maybe helps. But there was a documentary, a couple of films that were on the pile that I got to watch that are new on video, and they triggered a connection with another film, and sometimes it's just all in the timing. But on Kino Lorber, there is the documentary Desperate Souls, Dark City, and The Legend of Midnight Cowboy. And this is a documentary about the history of the film Midnight Cowboy, the making of it, what kind of impact it had in film at that time, what was going on in the U.S. at that time, and the fact that it's the first and only X-rated film to win Best Picture. And a lot of stuff on this. John Voight is one of the talking heads on this. And we actually see vulnerable John Voight. It's not as shocking as crying Jack Nicholson in the Roger Corman documentary. But I know if you are of a certain political affiliation, you don't want to hear from John Voight. But he really opens up about working with John Schlesinger and the impact that this film had. So, you know, take that for what it is. But there's a lot of info about the film I had not seen. And I also revisited the Criterion release of Midnight Cowboy after watching this documentary. They had a budget for as far as music. But it was very, very cool to be reminded of the works of Waldo Salt, who was the writer. I forgot that his daughter Jennifer has a role as the one of the girls in Joe Buck's life. The chemistry and the collaboration between John Voight and Dustin Hoffman. Two failures in an intimate relationship. That's kind of the best way to put it. I also forgot because Schlesinger was a documentary filmmaker and started in documentaries and TV, that his kind of handheld aspect of camera work, along with the documentary style of filming, plus Warhol, the avant-garde style of filmmaking, and because of the subject matter, the what would they call art films then, that were nudies, not pornography, but you know, they were on the same block, let's put it that way, where there would be a great example. I think this is the film that the couple see in Taxi Driver, where it's trying to pass itself off as a Swedish medical documentary, and then there's just a lot of cutaways of naked people. So, yeah, trying to be an art house film, but there's a lot of nudity in it. And so anyway, all of that is used as an influence with the camera. Also, the fact that subject matter, male prostitution with female and male clients, was not discussed in 1969 in a film, in a major film. So this was a part of that old Hollywood, new Hollywood. You know, John Wayne won Best Actor, but Midnight Cowboy won Best Picture. So we get that generation gap. And also the fact that I forgot about the story. The film gets an X rating, and they lean into it because the X rating hadn't been cursed by the porn industry, because somebody at the MPAA forgot to copyright, I guess, the rating, and that's how all the porno houses were doing triple X, quadruple X, and, you know, the more X's, the dirtier it's supposed to be. But its original intent was adults only. But there were some chain theaters and some newspapers even then that wouldn't advertise those films. So they stuck to their guns. You have to give it to the producer and to John Schlesinger, the director, and United Artists for sticking to their guns and like, nah, we're not changing this. So when it won Best Picture, the MPAA said, if you remove one frame, we'll mark it down to an R, and they refused. So kudos to that. Speaking of the X rating, which is now the NC-17 rating, this week's episode of You Must Remember This, as far as Karina Longworth's ongoing saga of erotic 90s, she talks about the NC-17 film of David Cronenberg's Crash, which I remember seeing in the theater, and there was probably a dozen of us, and we were kind of gobsmacked. So if you're into car crashing fetish, there's your film. So anyways, but it was fun to watch Desperate Souls, Dark City, and The Legend of Midnight Cowboy, and then I watched a Criterion collection of Midnight Cowboy. And was reminded, and I guess I corrected when I talked to a couple of people, but the I'm walking here scene was set up. So it sure as hell didn't look like it. And the fact that Hoffman's voice temporarily drops out of his Ratso voice into his shouting voice fooled me. So anyway, it was fun to revisit both of those, but that's a good companion piece. It's kind of like watching Apocalypse Now and then Hearts of Darkness. So really good to check out both of those. The other film that came about, that was because it was at the top of the pile, and I was kind of worried going into it because of hardships in the family, new on Blu-ray from Kino Lorber, Paul Schrader's Hardcore. the cinematic son of Joel Schumacher's 8mm. This stars George C. Scott. Excellent performance. It's an understated performance for Scott. He's kind of a ticking time bomb as the film goes on, but he plays a very conservative Calvinist business owner in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is where Paul Schrader grew up and also came from a very strict religious family. And his teenage daughter is going on a field trip to California and disappears. And through a private detective played by Peter Boyle, finds footage of her in a film that was made in the California porn industry. So Scott must go out to California and check out the porn worlds of San Diego, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and goes deeper and deeper into a very holy fish out of water. And in order to find his daughter, he gets some assistance from a sex worker played by Susan Hubley. And again, Paul Schrader's the guy. I've said this for years. If you need a story of most of the time a straight white dude going in a downward spiral, Paul Schrader's your man. He wrote Taxi Driver. He did Blue Collar, this film, American Gigolo, Light Sleeper, Affliction, First Reform, The Gardener, The Card Counter, Bringing Out the Dead. He wrote that. Oh my gosh. Full disclosure, I saw this on cable in the late 70s, early 80s, so already way too young a person to be watching this, but I've always said that I thought Taxi Driver is a horror film. Forget killer sharks and, you know, killers in ski mask or hockey mask. Travis Bickle's sitting at the end of the bar next to you right now. To a certain degree, this is also kind of a scary film, especially as a young person, where, you know, we're seeing a world that has not really been represented in film. And it's funny because we brought up Midnight Cowboy. So there are the jobs that a male hustler needs to do. But that was 10 years prior to this. We go into what happens in these shops with their fake walls and real jobs and who gets money and who doesn't. And there's just interesting scenes with Hubley and Scott about their beliefs. It's really a well-done film. You want to shower afterwards, but and the other part is, they mentioned there's two commentary tracks on this, one by Paul Schrader himself, which is always fun to listen to because he has no filter, and then one by a couple of film historians. The fact that Dick Sargent has a rare dramatic role in this. If you blink, you'll see Dick Williams, a young Reb Brown. And there's also, I forgot that there was an homage. They kind of had the film historians kind of said this was a very somewhat reminiscent of The Searchers, of John Wayne's story where he's trying to find his niece. It's a disturbing, well-made, understated George C. Scott, which I might be doing a series of George C. Scott films later on, if not for this show, maybe for the Film Yap, which I have to tell Chris Lloyd because I mentioned it on the show. But the fact that George C. Scott's character goes undercover as a financier to find his daughter, and just to see what lengths he will go to in order to find his daughter. So there is that. But yeah, it's a hard watch, but I think it's worth it. So Kino Lorber has released Hardcore on Blu-ray, and it's funny. It's just in the timing of the way things pile up. There's a film from Film Movement called Cade Joblanco, and similar story of an outsider going deep and way deeper than they ever thought they could in order to find somebody. In this case, it's a sister who lives in Guatemala City. There is the extrovert and the introvert. The introvert is talked into going out after hours after their grandma falls asleep. B is the older sister. She wants to go to a bar and meet her new boyfriend. Saratia wants to just stay at home. She's the introvert. And they go out, and the next morning, B is gone. So then, of course, there is they go to the police, but we also find out that her new boyfriend is affiliated with a notorious gang in town, and the younger sister decides to infiltrate the gang to find out where her sister is. So, similar to Hardcore, although to a longer degree, it's more about her infiltration into the gang than the searching for the sister. Once George C. Scott gets into disguise mode, it kind of veers a little bit because he's got to get into that world. And that's the same thing here. Seeing this introvert become an extrovert and have to stand up toe-to-toe with some really ugly, nasty people. She's relentless. Kudos to actress Karen Martinez for playing this. A lot of long tracking shots in this film as well, which is something I kind of—I'm a kind of a sucker for that. It's like the guitarist who— either has a very, very long extension cord or has a wireless and just kind of goes all over the place when he's performing. It's done a lot, but I don't mind watching it. So, so anyway, it was just kind of interesting, good timing on the fact that I got to, it's almost like a companion piece. Cade DeBlanco from Film Movement was kind of that, along with that. Now, shifting gears to two other pictures that... One turned out to be a nicer surprise than I expected. The other kind of went in another direction, and it's still fine. From IndiePix is an Australian comedy drama called The Merger, and set in Bodgy Creek, where we have a rugby club that either needs to merge with another team or fold because of the size, the fact that their clubhouse has been torn down because of asbestos. And we have Troy, who we find out is a former AFL player, but he's also the town outsider because he's accused of killing the town and the plant that used to be there because of chaining himself to a tree in protest. We have a widow, Angie, with her son, who's trying to make a documentary about this whole situation, where there's talk of hiring Troy to be the new coach of the team and finding new players. And in this case, it would be a number of immigrants, and half the village is not particularly crazy about this. Angie, the widow, runs a refugee center, so she's all for it. She's all for Troy becoming the coach. It doesn't help matters that Angie's father used to coach the team and is against the idea of refugees being a part of this team. And one of the quotes that's on the DVD case is saying it's the full Monty for the footy field. Now, there's no nudity in this, but it is playing up the fact that the town of Bodgy Creek is a character. And if you think about the character and the people in the town of the full Monty, that I understand. So we assembled the ragtag team of misfits. Some are good at other sports and adapt to rugby. Others, because of their where they come from and maybe aren't familiar with rugby, take a little longer than others to adapt. Although we get some nice major players and some nice moments from supporting players, like the town in the Full Monty. Certain plot points are by the numbers, but it's done well enough and there's enough care and heart that you go with it. Yes, there will be some losses, there will be some wins. And the actor who plays Troy, it's his script based on his one-man show. And that's one of the special features on this disc is you can see a little bit talking about adapting it from a one-person show to a full-length film. So it works well as an underdog film as well as how people are, how a small town is dealing with refugees or folks, you know, folks from out of country coming in and living, as well as what some of the immigrants have to deal with from their home country. It does go down a serious path with one of the characters from Syria, but I don't want to give that away. But it's a nice little picture called The Merger from Australia that's available on IndiePix. And then we have a film called Final Cut from Kino Lorber, where at the beginning, we have a zombie attack that is happening on the set of a zombie film. We have the tyrannical director who's still filming while there is an attack going on. And it's the big selling point for the movie within the movie is that it's supposed to be done in a single shot. And so that's an interesting concept. As the film goes on, we go and we go back in time as to what was happening, right before the shooting of the film, what was going on with the characters on and off stage, the first reading, recasting, the offer to direct these 30-minute takes. That's one of the things. It goes as far back as 1 month earlier. And there's a part of me as I'm watching this that I wish it was more of a zombie film and less of a filmmaker behind the scenes of making a film. It works out okay, and I'm a sucker for films about filmmaking, but the balance didn't fall the way I wanted it to, and therefore I'm like, okay, I like it, just not as much as what I thought I would. But no fake tears in this film, I can tell you that. That's in my notes. So we get the intro of the film from a different point of view. And then as the film goes on, it does show the camaraderie and the ability to keep going. These single tracking shots, if you've ever, whether it's Goodfellas or Russian Ark or Rope or Birdman, it's fun to watch the making of those because it's everything is precise. Everything has to happen to the letter. So, and there is one outdoor stair scene that's kind of a giveaway as to the setup early on in the picture. But, you know, if it's 10 o'clock, this is a pizza and beer film. If you got a bit of those and it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or a midnight movie, if you can stay up that late, it's okay. So final cut from Kino Lorber. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, before we go, grab a pencil. We'll go around the horn, even though I did it a little bit earlier in the show. At the Tibbs Drive-In on screen one is The Expendables 4, or Expendables 4 with a 4 in the title, numeral 4, and The Retirement Plan, and then they'll play Expendables 4 again. Screen two, Equalizer 3 and The Outlaw Johnny Black, for you fans of Black Dynamite, which I need to check that. I need to check out Outlaw Johnny Black. Screen 3, The Nun 2 and The Original Saw, and then Nun 2 again. And on screen 4, It Lives Inside, followed by Talk to Me, and then It Lives Inside again. That's at the Tibbs Drive-In. Over at the Skyline, the double feature of The Nun 2, followed by Cobweb. And then the Indie Sensation, that's the 22nd and the 24th. On the 27th, Indie Sensations 2023 double feature, Johnny Z followed by Pigpen. And then the Drive-In Massacre 2023 happening on October 6th, as well as the double feature Final Cut followed by Slice on October 16th. All of that is at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. At IU Cinema tonight, 7 o'clock, new 4K restoration, Martin Scorsese's masterpiece, Raging Bull, followed by, that's a new America Cinema series, Friday night, tonight at 10 p.m. as a part of the Friday Night Fright series, Brian De Palma's Sisters with Margot Kidder. Saturday, September 23rd at 4 p.m., Saturday Matinee Classics from 1932, Jewel Robbery with Kay Francis and William Powell. Raging Bull again on Saturday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 26th at 7 p.m., journals about Zelmer Zinnick. Thursday, September 28th, Friday Night Frights. Thursday, September 28th at 7 p.m., the original Wicker Man from 1973. And Friday, September 29th, Cadejo Blanco at 7 p.m., which we just talked about. So you can check that out as a part of the New America's Cinema series. Friday, September 29th at 7 p.m. And then Friday, September 29th at 10 p.m., the Midwest premiere of Trim Season, followed by High Tension. And then Saturday, September 30th at 4 p.m., Redheaded Woman. And Saturday, September 30th at 7 p.m., Cadejo Blanco. All of that is happening at IU Cinema. At the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin on Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Singing in the Rain. And as I mentioned before, Tuesday, September 26th at 8 p.m., Claudio Simonetti's Goblin doing a live scoring of Dario Argento's Demons. And then Wednesday, September 27th, Robert Muggy will be there signing books with a Q&A beforehand, or introduction, Q&A afterwards, selling his new memoir, and his documentary, Cool Runnings, the Reggae Movie, is happening Wednesday, September 27th at 7:30 p.m. And then Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., September 29th and 30th, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Saturday, October 7th at 7:30 p.m., silent movie with live organ accompaniment from 1922, Nosferatu. And then October 13th and 14th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., October 15th, 2 and 5 p.m., Hocus Pocus. All of that is happening at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. All right. We go to X. Grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching. And we find out from Tracy Forner. I will get Tracy back on the show. We were just kind of cracking up about Moneyball. He's watching it. And The Drop. That's right. That was the other one, which he refers to as his Zagruda film. So Moneyball and The Drop. Nice to see you, nice to see you working there, Tracy. Appreciate it. We go over to Facebook. Lou Harry writes, Under the Yum Yum Tree, Theater Camp, Whiplash, Revenge of Frankenstein, and Evil Dead Rise. John writes, Red, 2010. Still like this one a lot. Brian Hartz, Beatrice and her friend from next door introduced us to the Lego Movie 2. The neighbor kid was incensed that we had not seen it. A direct quote, you're in your 30s or 40s, and this is a very popular movie. How have you not seen this? And my response is, I say the exact same thing to actual children. So Josh writes, Event Horizon, which he deemed chilling. Doug writes, Riff Raff, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. He's going to be a part of a podcast about that this weekend. Thank you, Doug. Ferris Bueller's Day Off in his Chicago and film class. And more from 1999, Election and Galaxy Quest. That would be a fun double feature. Nancy writes, Amadeus, I can't believe I've never watched this. Nancy, it happens. We all have these kind of cinematic blind spots. Although I'm happy to say I got to see Amadeus in the theater. I was 14. My mother dropped me off, and I was the youngest one in the theater by a good 30 years. So welcome aboard, Nancy. Kevin, who is also with me in As You Like It, The Tragedy of Macbeth, directed by Joel Cohen, starring Denzel Washington. I really enjoyed it. Kevin's response, the casting is excellent all the way around. The actors make the script very accessible and easy to follow. The special effects are incredible, especially the witches scene. Yeah, find that actress in Midsummer that's done by National Theater Live. That's Julie Taymor directed, if I remember right. Minimalist sets really pop out on the screen due to the lighting and the camera angles. Yep, shot in black and white, which reminds me of a classic film. I really, really enjoyed the Cohen Macbeth. Pat writes, John Wick 4 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. Tracy did inform me he watched The Drop from the opening credits this time, which is good because we kind of check in on how much of it he gets to watch before going to sleep. Lisa writes, Eric, his first view of the original Love Affair from 1939, his rewatches, Orson Welles' film of Franz Kafka's The Trial, which is, I believe, on the Criterion Channel, as well as it just came out on Criterion Blu-ray, which I was able to pick up myself. Anyway, back to Eric's rewatches. The Trial, Hidden Figures, and Band of Brothers, which, even though it's a miniseries, still must be counted among the greatest war movies ever made. Mary writes, Spider and the Exorcist version that you've never seen. Oh, the Exorcist version that you've never seen. Okay, thank you. Jessica writes, Evil Dead 2, Black Box, Devil, and The Thing. Which one? Christine writes, Bill Cunningham, New York, If Docs Are Your Thing, It's So Good. I have seen that one, Christine, and you are correct. I did like it very much. Nikki writes, Elemental, loved it. Some stupid Annabelle movie, hated it. I Know What You Did Last Summer, hated it. And Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, loved it. Amanda writes, and went to the library, Theater Camp, Happy Ever Afters, and Let It Rain. David writes Nightmare Alley, the original. The remake. The original is on the C list, the 2C list. Thank you. Devin writes The Producers, the musical. Daniel writes The Women, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, Sanctuary, Flamingo Road, and A Haunting in Venice. Jay writes Champions. Robert Muggy writes The River's Edge, Gaslight, and Peggy Sue Got Married. Abby writes Mannequin, Hereditary, Harriet, and You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah. Adrian writes, we watched Living with Bill Nighy and it broke me. Just gorgeous. We're both huge Inseguro fans and he earned our praise yet again. I loved Living as well, Adrian. That made my top five last year. So I'm glad more folks are able to watch that. And yeah, it's Bill's best work and that's saying quite a bit. Mike Perry writes, not doing movies right now, but we're rewatching Justified from the beginning. Nothing wrong with that. That, of course, based on the work of film sociology guest Elmore Leonard. Let me pick up this name I dropped. Gary writes Twilight People, Drag Me to Hell, Dark and Stormy Night, Jungle Shuffle, and The Satanist. Linda writes Cousins, one of my top 10. David writes Jaws, The Wolfman, The Old Guard, and Thunderheart. Andy writes A Haunting in Venice. Linda writes A Haunting in Venice and deemed it boring. Ben writes Mortal Kombat, The Infernal Cauldron, and A Haunting in Venice. Ryan writes The Kingsman Trilogy. Craig writes Dark Star. Cassandra writes the new live-action Little Mermaid. Zachariah writes Pain and Glory and Ain't Them Bodies Saints. Maya writes Friday Night Lights. It just happened. Moveen writes, I discovered a new-to-me director. Yusagiro Ozu's Tokyo Story. Wonderful, heart-rendering story. Plus, Private Lessons by director Vadim Perelman, as well as Versailles Season 1. Adam writes, McKenna's Gold. I'm sure you know of this, but there are five or six scenes that are almost exactly the same as Indiana Jones. Found out that Lucas was on that set in 1969. Good call, Adam. This was a not financially successful Western with Gregory Peck and Omar Sharif. And Adam, I owe you a phone call. I have not forgotten. Michelle writes Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, as well as Dead Man's Chest. JJ writes, and this happens. I know JJ. We especially those that write every week. Can't recall where I left off. So, Earthquake, Busting, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Swamp Thing, which he said they don't make them like this anymore, and 2, which he deemed pretty dull old boy human centipede mashup on Netflix. But it was only 71 minutes. Thank you, JJ. Robert writes How to Blow Up a Pipeline. Jamie writes Barbie, Hocus Pocus 1 and 2, and Twitches 1 and 2. Terry writes The Pit and the Pendulum, Magician, The Astounding Life and Work of Orson Welles, The Last Run, The Premature Burial, and Flesh Tone. Kurt writes Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny for Beltrace. The average age of the viewers approached that of Harrison Ford. All right, cute. Also, A Haunting in Venice in the cinema. The only one we have left in Bloomington as AMC 11 closed, just the West Side 12-plex now for the whole city of 100,000 people. Thank you, Kurt. Hang in there, pal. Joni writes, Theater Camp and Once Upon a Time in the West again. Don writes, Searching for Sugar Man again. Dan writes, Gothic. David writes, 2001 A Space Odyssey. Abby writes, Captain Marvel. Okay, my buddy Heather writes, I actually have an answer for once. Congratulations. She writes, The Mortuary Collection. I am out of every loop in the universe, so for all I know, everyone knows about this movie, but I'm just catching up on it, and it's so effing adorable and splatterific at the same time. sweet as pies, but in a Titus Andronicus way. Very good. With effing Clancy Brown in the wraparound. Just adorable and satisfying. It feels like it was made with such gleeful love. Thank you, Heather. And no, not everybody knows the Mortuary Collection. And yes, way to name drop Titus Andronicus, which is a part of Indie Bard Fest. You can go to IndieBardFest.com for all the shows. That includes Medea, Titus Andronicus, and a production of As You Like It with yours truly. But anyway, thank you, Heather, for contributing. I'm glad you have an answer this week. Kelly writes, Lars and the Real Girl and Original Sin. Lucy writes, Rock of Ages. Kurt writes, Thief with James Caan. Always a fun film. That might be one Tracy Forner watches when he's channel surfing. Dakota writes, The Howling, The Name of the Rose, Donnie Darko, and then a movie I can't mention yet, just in case my special guest for the Horror Talk podcast shows up. Well, you got your podcast plug in there, Dakota, so it's okay. Taylor writes The Bourne Ultimatum, Spy, Ocean's 8, A Fish Called Wanda, Expendables 1 through 3, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and 3, and Earth versus the Flying Saucers. Brenda writes Kurt Vonnegut on Stuck in Time. Don writes Legal Eagles. Patty writes A Haunting in Venice. Anthony writes Ghost, Tommy Boy, and A Haunting in Venice. Bill writes Harper and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And finally, Chris writes The Ring. I'm introducing the teen to some of my favorite spooky movies, and I'm with you on the photo. Yeah, I just, it's of the not mural in Broad Ripple. So, but there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you've been able to watch some good movies that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's some out there. We will turn into Stage Sociology next week because of Indie Bard Fest, which is coming up, of which I'm a part of it. So get ready for that. I'm sure we'll talk about some Shakespeare adaptations in the films and Shakespeare players as a whole. Okay, on a final note, this has been going around Lee's Facebook from what I've seen. The film festival with the letters of your first name. And yes, I went with Matthew. So, and if you ask me this next week, it'll be an entirely different festival. Here you go. Matewan, John Sayles. Age of Innocence, Scorsese. Thief, Michael Mann. The Trip to Bountiful. See, there's the T, and I didn't have to rely on the T, but I used the T, and it's still a T. H, Hell Up in Harlem, Fred Williamson. That's a Blu-ray. It's on my pile. I need to watch it. Election, also on my pile. And finally, White Heat, Top of the World, Ma. So there you go. That's the film festival based on the letters of my name. There you go. Your pledge dollars at work. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
Parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!